Turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, if you would. This is where we're going to begin. Isaiah chapter 7. And we'll be looking at several scripture references. I hope you have your Bibles. I am going to make you use them this afternoon. And so we'll begin in Isaiah chapter 7. So we talked about different gifts over the last couple weeks. And I'm not going to rehearse what each one of those are. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about the miraculous gift. Last week, we talked about the greatest gift. And in that greatest gift, we actually looked at three different gifts there. And this afternoon, I want to talk about the anticipated gift. The anticipated gift. How many of you have ever anticipated a gift in your life? You were expecting it. All right. Well, that's what we're going to get into, the anticipated gift. So Isaiah chapter 7, look at verse 14. Just read it out loud with me. We'll just read one verse to start off with. Isaiah 7, 14, ready to begin. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So there you have it, the prophecy that we're so familiar with, that we read about in the New Testament. This is where it was originated, in Isaiah 7, 14, the anticipated gift. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we love you and thank you for your love for us and for your goodness. I pray, Lord, you'd be pleased and glorified and honored in everything said and done. Help me. I need you. I'm not worthy to be up here. You know that. We know we're not worthy to be called a child of God. We're not worthy of our salvation. The precious gifts you give us beyond salvation, our family, our loved ones, wives, husbands, children, we're not worthy of this church. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn from the lesson today what you would have for us. Lord, I thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you kids, let's see, all the kids, raise your hand. Okay. So whether it's birthday or Christmas or whatever, how many of you look forward to gifts? You look forward to it. You anticipate it. Okay? It's cool. It's good. How many of you adults look forward to gifts? Okay, yeah, absolutely. Especially if it's the right one, right? How many have an Amazon wish list? How many of you, the people who buy you gifts, never pay attention to that Amazon wish list? Oh, wow, that's impressive. How many of you enjoy giving gifts? Okay. I don't know a more enthusiastic gift giver than Josiah. Yesterday, he told me what he got me because he was so excited to give it to me. He said, Dad, I got you a Dodge Ram. I was like, all right. That's awesome. But sometimes I've seen him when somebody's opening a present and he's excited, so excited that he got whoever it is, my wife usually, the present, that he's just anticipating her seeing it, that he spilled the beans before we ever actually got to see what it was. And just in anticipation, just excited about giving that gift. Christmas is an incredible gift. We've been emphasizing that. And we find it as the kind of gift we've always wanted. We find it as the kind of gift that we've always needed. Amen? We find it's the kind of gift that is the perfect gift. It's the greatest gift. It's incredible. It's miraculous. It's a gift that contains the love of God delivered through Jesus Christ. And through Christmas, again, it's not about the presents. It's about his presence in our lives. And we gain some things as a result of that. We gain salvation. Amen. We're saved. We know for sure heaven's our home. But we gain gifts far beyond that. And I knew that today would be, that today was a great day. I mean, what a great crowd. But this message here this afternoon would be kind of our home folk. And so I just kind of wanted to talk to you about this gift of anticipation and having that anticipation that Josiah has when somebody's opening a gift, or that a boy or a girl has when they're opening the gift for themselves, or that a grandma or grandpa has when they're watching their grandchildren get excited about opening a gift. And you know, it kind of like, as we get into it, can I say it this way? Unwrapping this gift is kind of like tearing the first corner off of a larger gift. Christ's first coming in the manger isn't the end of the story. It's not the full gift. And it's almost like when you have that kid who got a gift and they don't quite understand what it is. I said I wasn't going to walk away from the pulpit. They don't quite understand what it is, and you have to explain it to them. You kind of have to lean in closer and say, "Do you know what this is? You know, this is this. Do you know what this means? That's not just a truck. It's a remote control truck, and it can climb hills and go over stumps, and it's fast. And even when it flips over, it'll still drive." And it spins in circles. And they're like, "I don't want to hear you talk about it. I want to see it." And they want to, "Dad, can you open this right now?" But there's like 15 other gifts that they got to open. And so, you know, they're bringing gifts to you and you're putting batteries in and put things together and building stuff just so it's all ready for them. When it's all said and done, they can get right to it and play with it. But can you kind of picture God kind of leaning in close and saying, "Do you know what this gift really means? Do you understand what this gift is?" And before we can really fully unwrap it, before we really get to completely see what it is, he joyfully tells us, "Listen, this isn't just a baby being born in a manger. This is your promise, not that I've come, but that I'm coming again. I'm coming again. He came to die, but he lives to come again." We're talking about it's the return of Christ. Like Josiah says, "It's a Dodge Ram, Dad." I don't know. Maybe I'm going to be disappointed. I'm expecting a little Dodge Ram in a little wrapped gift. I hope it's green. But it's almost like God is saying, "It's not just a bait. Listen, I'm going to tell you what it is before you get to experience what it is." And he's done that. He's told us what this gift is before we even get to fully experience what this gift is. The scripture is full of promises concerning Christ coming to earth. The fact that he came, it's full of promises about that. Many of them made hundreds of years before he was born, but only some of them were fulfilled through Christmas. So let's look at a couple things here. We looked at Isaiah 7:14. Look at those words one more time where it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. From his birth in the manger to his resurrections," some have estimated that Christ fulfilled over 300 prophecies. So we're going to look at all 300 tonight. Just kidding. It wouldn't hurt us, but let's look at a few. Born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. Those words go to Matthew 1. Please use your Bibles tonight. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. So that was the prophecy, Isaiah 7:14. Maybe you might want to jot a little reference next to Isaiah 7:14, write Matthew 1:20, or next to Matthew 1:20, you might want to jot Isaiah 7:14.
or maybe you have a steel trap mind, you can just remember it. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, the prophecy fulfilled. Isaiah 37, 31, please. You may as well just make sure you have a marker in Isaiah. Isaiah 37, verse 31. So there's a prophecy about him being born of a virgin. How about from the house of Judah? Isaiah 37, verse 31. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Now Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. How about from the house of David? And this is the genealogy, just keeps going to Christ. How about the house of David? Isaiah 16. Isaiah 16, verse 5. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. This is just of anticipating Christ here, what that is. And Matthew chapter 1, go back to Matthew, chapter 1, look at verse 6. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Again, just including him in the lineage that was of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16 now. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Just in the genealogy itself, just in the lineage, there are so many prophecies that are mentioned that are fulfilled just in that fact right there. Because of names that are mentioned in the Old Testament, we're not going to look at them all, that all you got to do is look at Matthew 1. Oh, yep, there's a name included right there in the lineage. You say, well, why is this here? Why? Sometimes you read through something like, why is this here? This is boring. Well, here's one little nugget that we can get out of it, and it's a pretty big one, is that just that genealogy, just that lineage of Jesus Christ shows five prophecies fulfilled from the Old Testament, where it was said that he'd be of this house or of this name. And here they are mentioned. Micah 5:2, turn there. Chapter 5. If you can't get there, I'm not very fast in my Bible turning, so you'll probably beat me most of the time. Micah 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now we'll go back to Matthew. I'm sure you have your place saved there. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in where? Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Prophecy after prophecy. I'm going to give you some, and if you want to jot the references down, that would be great. Prophesied from Nazareth of Galilee, there's three places. Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 2, prophesied there, and shown fulfilled in Matthew 2, and shown fulfilled in Matthew 4. It was prophesied he would come out of Egypt in Hosea 11, verse 1. It was shown fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verse 14. His mission would include the Gentiles. Go to Isaiah 49. This is huge right here. Isaiah chapter 49. His mission would include the Gentiles. That's you. That's me. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And in Scripture, that's fulfilled in multiple places. All you got to do is follow the ministry of Christ, follow the writings of Paul, and you see Gentiles were reached. But I'll just give you one in particular. Matthew 12, verse 14 through 21 shows that fulfilled. His ministry would include miraculous healings. That was prophesied that he would be able to heal. In Isaiah 29, verse 18, that he'd be a healer. And in Isaiah 35, verse 5, also prophesied that he would heal. Obviously, we have pretty much the entire story of Jesus Christ showing that he heals. His ministry would deliver spiritual captives. Isaiah 61. I can't wait to preach on this in Luke chapter 4. But he said, he told them, he walked in, Jesus Christ walked into the temple and the synagogue. They were reading, and it was his turn to read. And he read out of Isaiah, and he read out of chapter 61, verses 1 through 2. And he basically looked at them and said, that's me. I've come to be that person. And they got angry and they got mad and they ran him out. But he came to do that. He was despised and rejected by men, Isaiah 53, verse 3. And well, he was despised and rejected by men in Matthew chapter 26. He was prophesied to be hated without cause in Psalm 69, verse 4. He was prophesied to be hated without cause in Isaiah 49, verse 7. Well, he was hated without cause, wasn't he? John 15, verse 24. Matthew 26, 14 through 15 tells us that he was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Well, did you know that was prophesied in Zechariah 11, verse 12? That was prophesied. It happened. Micah 5, 1 tells us that he would be beaten with a rod. Mark 15, 19 tells us he was beaten with a rod. Psalm 69, verse 21 tells us that he would be given vinegar and gall to drink. Matthew 27, verse 34, tells us that he was given vinegar and gall to drink. Psalm 22, 16 tells us his hands and feet would be nailed. And John 20, verse 25 shows us that they were nailed. Isaiah 53, 9 tells us that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. Matthew 27, 57 through 60, he was buried in a rich man's tomb. Go to Isaiah 53. Verse 8. He was taken from prison, from judgment. This is a prophecy. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. We preached on this a couple weeks ago. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now look at verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul, shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Many prophecies that we've seen fulfilled. But the prophecies of Christ's first coming aren't the only ones in Scripture. Bible scholars have counted more than 1,480 references to his second coming. No, I have not counted them up. If you have, congratulations. Maybe you say there's 1,479 instead of 1,480. Because of the fulfilled promises of his first coming, and we've seen many fulfilled promises of his first coming, haven't we? And we just barely scratched the surface. But because of that truth, listen, I want you to understand something. We can anticipate his second coming. You can look forward to it. You can be excited about it. You can be pumped up about it. You can be overjoyed and thrilled. So much so, it ought to cause us to say to somebody else, "Hey, he's coming again." You can't hold it in. You can't keep it in. Somebody needs to know Jesus is coming again. Somebody needs to know he's come, and he's died and was buried and rose again. They need to know he's coming again. You believe that tonight? When I was a boy, I had the terrible, well, I guess I'm still a boy at this, terrible habit of trying to figure out what's in a present. Shake it. I'd try to peek in the package. One year, I was pretty certain I knew what the gift was. And so I didn't unwrap it, but I just would sneak over there and I'd start playing with it like it was that gift. Like it's a monster truck or something like that. And I'd start playing with it. Somebody's alarm is going off. And I kept playing with it, and I kept playing with it, and I kept playing with it. Only to find out when I opened it, it wasn't the gift I thought it was. In reality, though, I was enjoying the pleasures of what I thought was a future event. The package had my name on it. I thought I knew what it was. I knew I would love it. But only Christmas Day revealed what it really was. But so it is with the gift of Christ present to us, this anticipated gift. Christmas is our promise that it's not just about he came and he died, but it's our promise that Christ is coming again to establish a kingdom in which pain and suffering and sorrow will be gone forever. One day with the Lord will be as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Sin and Satan will be vanquished. War and strife will be forgotten. Peace and goodwill toward men will be the glad reality in your heart if you know Christ as your Savior. Amen? We will live with the joy of his presence in our lives. It's hard to imagine a gift greater than that. You can't imagine a gift greater than that. It's the eternal kingdom of Jesus' kingdom. Until then, though, we have the pleasure unwrapping this. We don't get to see it completely and fully at this time. But we get to enjoy the promise of his coming. Christ first came to earth as a humble baby, but when he returns, he'll be a glorious king. The love of Christ throughout the entire story of Jesus Christ is greater than we will fully experience in our lifetime. We will not be able to completely fully experience it. But as we live this life and, so to speak, unwrap it, it gives us another gift.
And that gift is a gift of anticipation. We get to anticipate His coming again, looking forward to it, like a bride looking forward to her husband. Anticipate. Remember that day when you were married? Come on, ladies, you remember. Anticipating it, looking forward to it. Excited. And you young ladies, anticipating that one day. Don't get any ideas in your head about it. Christ is going to come back before you get married, hopefully. Do you anticipate His return like that? Do we anticipate His return? Do we live our days in anticipation that He's coming again? It's like Simeon in the Bible. He literally lived his days anticipating that he'd see the Christ child. And he got to see the Christ child. And he rejoiced. And he said, now I can go. I've done what God wanted me to do. Do you live your life anticipating His coming again?